In most mythological systems, there is a theme of the double or the twins, and there are different kinds of twinships. One version is that there are two birds in a tree. One bird is eating the fruits on the tree and the other is just watching. This would be the twinship of the soul and the spirit. The soul partakes of the fruits of karma. It enters into the phenomenal plane, takes on an identity, an ego form, whereas the spirit remains beyond in the noumenal realm, in eternity, beyond time and space, and does not partake of karma. It's very important for us all to realize that there is a part of our being, in fact, the root of our being, the essence of our being, that is not identified with the ego or even the soul on the phenomenal plane, but stays beyond and is untouched by pleasure, by pain, by desire, by fear, or by any of the karmic vexations that the ego mind is plagued with. And that's why liberation can be instantaneous, because that part of our being is already and always in the state of liberation. The problem is that part of the consciousness is identified very strongly with the karmically enmeshed ego form that's eating the fruit and sometimes getting indigestion from that fruit, and yet at the same time attached, determined to remain identified with that ego. Because the ego is the pride and joy of the alma, not the atma. There's alma and there's atma. They're two different levels. But once the attachment to the ego becomes very firm, and oddly enough, it becomes more firm the more trauma has been experienced in childhood, because one wants to defend that which has been attacked by the other. And so the ego becomes very fierce in its defense of its own identity, even though it's an illusion. Now, some egos, one may be very proud of in a positive sense, that the ego has become a success in the world and a pillar in the community and has, you know, diplomas on the wall, etc. And you'd think, well, that is the kind of ego that one would be most attached to. But it's not necessarily the case. One can be even more attached to an ego that is an anti-hero, an outsider, a rebel without a cause, a failure, a misfit. And that ego form that is so fierce in carrying the torch for its own false identity will not want to let go, but will want to get vengeance and justification rather than transcendence. And there are some egos that are attached to desire, and they will not give up chakra 2, and there are other egos that are attached to chakra 3, and they won't give up the fierce wrath of the self-righteous vengeance for all the wrongs that were done. And some are attached to chakra 1, and won't give up the anxious feeding, the oral greed, or the greed for things, possessions, whatever. And yet, when you're stuck in that identity, in that mode of behavior and of identification, there's only misery and vexation, and eventually the soul, the ego form, wants to die. It wants to dissolve out of a world that's too much trouble and that provides ultimately no satisfactions. And if one remains identified with the body, the problem is that the way out will seem like suicide. It will be suicide, in fact, a killing of the organism. But the killing of the organism, of course, doesn't kill the sanskaras. It doesn't kill the soul. And so those same sanskaras then are carried onward, just like the snowball going down the mountain. And in the following lifetime, one has to deal with an even worse kind of situation. So that's not the way out. The only way out is to disidentify and realize you're not the bird that has eaten of the fruit, but the other bird that has never been touched by trauma, never has been touched by any of the karmic enmeshments and identifications that the ego is plagued with. So the freedom is already there. It doesn't have to be struggled for. One simply has to release the phenomenal and enter again the noumenal. And so we live simultaneously in time and beyond time and eternity. There are two different dimensions of our reality. The part that is identified in time is also identified with language. It's identified with a self-image and with self-concepts. That part cannot escape, because language itself is time. Language is duality. And so the way out is to silence the mind, to go on a thought fast. This is what meditation really is. You silence the mind that is identified with the process of going through linear time. And you realize that what you are is the indescribable, formless, eternal awareness. And the natural state of that awareness is already Sat Chit Ananda, divine being, divine, pure awareness and intelligence and bliss, a kind of joy, a kind of satisfaction, fullness that is not attainable in the phenomenal plane. And the more that one identifies with the ego, not even the soul going through the different incarnations, but the ego of a particular lifetime, as long as one holds on to that identity and agonizes with it and yet enjoys the agony, then the more that the couplehood becomes not that of the two birds, but that of Shiva and the dwarf. Or there's another myth of Ganesha, the great elephant god riding on a mouse. And the difference between the two levels of our reality becomes more and more extreme as we go through time. And the identity in the phenomenal plane becomes more degraded, more contracted, more petty, small, limited in its capacity to understand. And yet all the excess that was lost by the ego is gained by the awareness, the supreme awareness that we really are. Until that moment of this ultimate inadequacy of the ego, in which it must finally pop, and again the entirety of our being can become available to us. So at the moment when we're most cut off from the vastness of the Supreme Self is that moment when we are closest to it in time, that the return of eternity into the dimension of time becomes again inevitable. And we are in that moment now in history, because the dwarf of the ego can no longer maintain its existence, either at an individual level or a collective level. It's suffering too much. Its denial can no longer hold. It's close to collapse. And only through a surrender to the God Self can life be maintained. This is the moment we have arrived at on this planet. And at the same time, it's the moment in which the doors of our perception can be most open to cosmic realities that transcend that of the merely human plane. And that cosmic connection now is making itself more and more apparent to us at a collective level, that we can also no longer run away from or escape from, because we are faced with realities that transcend the human ego mind's ability to understand or to categorize or to put into some mechanistic framework that we can pretend we are the masters of. But we are involved in a cosmic intelligence that is moving into our space with incredible, unprecedented phenomena that represent the magnitudes of reality that lie beyond the human level of the mind. And we must face them, encompass them, and somehow we must integrate with what the universe is presenting us, which in order to do that, we must enter again into cosmic consciousness. There is no other alternative if we are going to navigate through the difficulties, the tribulations that we face now on a planetary scale. But those tribulations are blessings because they are indeed forcing us to grow up and regain our true cosmic selfhood. And so it's a moment in which we must all become cosmic monks. We must live in a state of surrender to God and give up, let go of all of the little treasures of the ego that no longer have any value, that lead only to more suffering. And it's very humbling. And it is for the ego the most difficult and the most anxiety-producing moment when it must let go, when it must surrender to a higher truth. And yet the moment of that letting go is the moment of the greatest blessing of bliss that we can attain. And so it has often been said that these are the times that try men's souls. Famous statement by Tom Paine during the American Revolution. But this is the real revolution of the new world that will bring a new world into being. And our souls are indeed being tested and tried in the scales, the same scale that is shown in the ancient Egyptian hieroglyph, that if your soul is heavier than a feather and the scales go down the wrong way, your soul gets eaten by a crocodile demon, and if you are lighter than a feather, then you go to the heaven of Ra and are part of the new world that is coming into being. So each of us is on that scale right now at this very moment, and we must decide. If we are given entirely into the hands of God, we become weightless, and no gravity of the ego holds us down. But if we choose the ego identity, then literally the gravity of the grave, of the perishable body consciousness, will carry us into great suffering. So our choice is clear. And our community exists for the purpose of helping people make the right decision, to support the choice of moving into the consciousness of the Atman and away from the consciousness of the ego in order to achieve the liberation that is our birthright. But for each of us, it's a choice that we must make in our own hearts. And it must be made without equivocation, without ambivalence, without keeping one foot out or keeping a back door open, because otherwise it won't be a true transcendence. So I hope you will all make a choice that will lead to the highest blessings that are possible for consciousness to attain. In this moment, when the window of that opportunity is open for all.